some devotion there. And then the next one is that Sangha Siddha Bhakti. So there's three kinds. Sakam Bhakti. This means we want everything for ourselves, but we'll give something to Krishna. We understand Krishna is the goal. And then there's Kevalya Bhakti. This is desiring liberation. And then there's Bhakti Matri. This is mean we're desiring to obtain the Lord. But in all these three cases, there's still karma and jnana. Is that they're mixed? It's considered like the desire for attaining Krishna is not so strong. It's like an electrical conductor. It's not electricity, but when it's associated devotional service, when we put electricity on that particular conductor, then it becomes electrified, but it's not actually electricity. So it's not actually real bhakti, it's very much material desires. And then the last one is, you'll be surprised I think, it's called Swarup Siddha Bhakti. There's two kinds. One is Vaidhi Bhakti. This is considered pure devotional service. And one is Raganuga Bhakti. And it says if we perform Vaidhi Bhakti very meticulously, it's considered Raganuga Bhakti. And so everybody who comes to this process which Prabhupada's given us has got the highest process. We're not on the lower processes at all. It says if we chant 16 rounds, follow four regulative principles, is considered to be on the pure platform. Mind, there's a lot of work to be done on that pure platform. We may not be quite there yet. Is there, what is it, ripe mango, is it? And unripe mango. What can you make out of an unripe mango? Chutney? It's not very good, though, is it, compared to a real mango? A ripe mango. Because there's some anartas in the heart. And In the Srimad Bhagavatam it explains that, what's that verse? Nasta Preshu Abhadreshu. By regularly chanting and hearing, the heart becomes purified, following the pure devotee. Tadaraja Tamabhava Bhava Kamaloba Deyaschaya Cheta Etiranavidim Stita Sattva Prasidati. One becomes free from these modes, which we were talking about earlier. And then it says, but still the devotee may appear to be pure, but he sometimes is very passionate. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that somebody who is passionate, he cannot be a devotee. And I was thinking that these things which are dwelling in their heart are actually obstacles. Did I tell you about the story of Charlie Chaplin? Well, it's not really a story. It's just one experience I had, actually. I was waiting to fly from this airport. And they were all screens in the airport. All everywhere. And they had a Charlie Chaplin movie on. And I was attracted, but I thought, this is not really what I should be doing. I should get the Bhagavad Gita out and read this instead. So I got the Gita out and I kept looking at this movie. And eventually they called us to get on a plane and I got on and we set off down the runway and all of a sudden, they don't give you any warning in Russia, it just came to a complete stop. All the brakes went on and we went back to the terminal again. I thought, well, no announcements. And we came back to the departure lounge and it was still on. I thought, this must be Krishna's arrangement. So I started watching this Charlie. I thought, Prabhupada, he used to watch Charlie Chaplin, is that right? And he got a lot of realization. He used to preach on these, on the strength of that. So I thought, maybe this will be helpful for me also. And so the story goes, it was a silent movie, and Charlie, it's New Year's Eve, and he's walking down the street, and out of this bar comes this drunk, he rolls into him, and they both go on the floor. So the drunk stands up and he starts brushing Charlie Chaplin down and he says, and you can see by way he's mimicking, he's inviting him on the town, come out with me on the town. And Charlie Chaplin pulls his pockets out and says, I've got no money. He says, don't worry, it's all on me. So they go out and they have a ball of a time. And it comes time to go home, and by this time he's dressed Charlie Chaplin up in immaculate clothes, he looks really the part. Because this person is very, very rich. And he has a habit when he gets drunk of just befriending anybody. And so they both go back to this person's mansion, actually, and they take rest. And next morning, he wakes up, Charlie Chaplin, he's thinking, actually, I've got some work to do. I know what I could do. What I could take advantage and borrow this person's automobile. So he calls the butler. The butler comes over and reluctantly he gives him the keys. And then he gets in the car. And he sat there. He looks you know what a toff is? A toff's a perfect gentleman. And he's driving down the road and all the people, wow, look at that. A real gentleman. And he's enjoying the acclaim. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of his eye, he sees this person walking down the causeway. And he's smoking a cigarette. And he looks at it, and it's only halfway down. And he throws it down. And Charlie Chaplin, he puts the anchors on the car. He jumps out of this big Rolls Royce, and he runs towards this cigarette. And just as he's about to get there, there's another tramp just going to pick it up. And he kicks him out of the way and picks his cigarette up and he starts smoking it. And the tramp's going, what does he need that for? He can't wake it up. He's just got out of a big Rolls Royce. So what's the moral of the story? You can't hide your nature, that's right. That, you know, we were talking about, you know, the things are still in the heart. And so this reminded me that, you know, we may look the part, but we have to become the part, not just act on that platform. So that's one thing anyway. And anyway, maybe we should move on to... what time does class go until? Okay. We're talking about good fortune. Seeing Krishna in every activity. It's very difficult to see. I don't know whether anybody's experienced that usually we think of everything else and then Krishna. When we try to work things out ourselves and we realize we're stuck, then we turn to Krishna. So actually in the appearance day of Lord Varaha, the same thing applies. When Lord Varaha appeared, Rama was talking to Swayambhuva Manu, and they were on about creation. It was a time for creation, and all of a sudden from his nose came this little, just the side of the end of the thumb, came this little boa. And at that point, you know, he wasn't so Krishna conscious. He didn't think this is Krishna. And then the boar eventually grew into the size of a stone. And he still didn't think this is Krishna. And then eventually it expanded and went up into the sky. And they had an idea then that there's something unusual going on here. And he was thinking maybe it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he still wasn't sure. And so in devotional service, this is also the case, isn't it? When we get into performing devotional service on a day-to-day basis, and it may be months later, we're like, wait a minute, Krishna was in the equation there. And what's the measure of our devotional service? What's the measure of our devotional service? Nectar of devotion. Said we should always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So Akrura was on that platform. He was in a difficult situation. How we could remember? Well, in a difficult situation, we can remember Krishna. But, you know, right from the very beginning, he was remembering Krishna. Thought, Krishna will protect me. Even though others may misunderstand why I'm going to Kamsa, then... the Lord in my heart, he knows what my motivation. And all the way going to Mathura, there's a full chapter nearly where it's describing how Akrura was meditating on what he would experience when he met the Supreme Lord. The Lord will greet me, he'll wash my feet, he'll do this, he'll do that, and then there'll be an exchange and so many things. It was in full Krishna consciousness. from the very beginning. So this is a sign of a devotee. The gap between an activity happening and putting Krishna into the equation is a measure of our devotional service to some degree. If we can remember Krishna immediately, then that's Krishna consciousness. Usually it may take some time. And so when a Krura, he eventually saw the lotus feet of Krishna in the dust in Gokul, and he immediately got down from his chariot and he started rolling in the dust. And there's three things that Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that allowed, that gave Akrura that ability to do that. Because remember, Akrura was a very elevated personality materially. He was the right-hand man of the king, Kamsa. Kamsa trusted him so much, trusted him with his most intimate journey, or errand. And so he had a lot to lose. You know, he was thinking that there was three things. He lost his fear. What's that fear? Fear that there may be some retribution taken on his family. If you know, people see the aide to the king rolling in Krishna's footprints and Kamsa gets to know, then he's going to be in difficulty. He wasn't fearful. What's the next one? He didn't lament. He thought, I have so much to lose, but I'm not bothered. And the first one, let's have a look. See what fear, pride. Pride, that's right. He lost all pride in his position. He says, what's that verse? Janmai svarya srutasribi. Edamana manapam. Nirvahat abhidartam. Right? Twamma kinchina gochara. That, you know, Queen Kunti is praying to the Lord. And she's saying that these four things are disqualifications for devotional service. High birth. Have we got anybody with a high birth in here? Any high births? No high births. Anybody who's wealthy? So we're becoming qualified. Jan Aishwarya, Sruta. Hey? Sruta. Well, anybody who's learned? Any pandits? We've got many pandits. And Shribir, beauty. So these four things, when they're in a devotee's life, then it's difficult for him to surrender. Or it's difficult for anybody to surrender with these. They're disqualifications. But Krishna can help. Does anybody want to be helped by Krishna? Are you sure? Anyway, it doesn't apply to the Brahmacharya Ashram so much. But he says, when I especially favour somebody, everybody knows this verse, I gradually take away all his wealth. Then the friends and family of that poor soul all reject him. And he's no option but to take shelter of me. So is everybody ready? But I say, Krishna's not so hurtful. He usually gives us a chance. He gives us a chance to perform the highest principle of devotional service, and also utilize whatever we have in his service. Yukta Vairagya. If we learn how to use things in service, then this is the highest platform. He doesn't have to take things away. So Akrura was on that platform. He got rid of fear, pride and lamentation. Lamentations. Anybody lament? What do we lament over? So many things. This is actually forgetfulness of Krishna. When we see Krishna in the activity, how can we lament? I can only get good out of this activity. It may be going in reverse. It may be not something I really want to happen. But ultimately, when we bring Krishna, then immediately we feel satisfied. So, we're coming back to Lord Varaha again now. So we were saying that Lord Varaha appeared, but Lord Brahma wasn't so sure who it was. And eventually, when Lord Varaha expanded into the sky, he realized that this is the Supreme... Well, he was thinking maybe this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It wasn't while later on, actually, that he actually fully understood. When was that? Can anybody remember? when he says that in Prabhupada, or it says in the translation, anyway, we'll come to that later. So how did this all start? We can say a little bit about the story behind the pastime of Lord Varahadev. It started with Aditi. Aditi was, by the Lord's arrangement, overcome with this lust, and so she approached her husband Kashyapa Muni for sexual intercourse. And it was an inauspicious time. It was in the evening time. It's called twilight or dusk. And at that time all the Bhutas and Lord Shiva go over. And so when that happens, usually it's an inauspicious birth. And Lord Shiva, he felt obliged that this is what I have to do. It's actually said that he was henpecked. But can you imagine Lord Shiva being henpecked? You know, everything's come in by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, ultimately, in these pastimes. And so Aditi, she gave birth to two demons. And these demons, they created a huge... the whole place became black at that time, and all the demigods became fearful. And so Lord Brahma... They went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma explained to them that actually this is, and he explained the story of Aditi and Kashyapa, how this had come about by the birth of these demons. And then he went a little bit further into it. He said, actually this started with the Kumaras. He said, the four Kumaras were travelling through the skies. The Kumaras were actually impersonalists at this time. And, he says that sometimes impersonalists also become devotees. Some kind of impersonalists, they decry the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are called Mayavadis. But some are Brahmanandis. They understand the Supreme Lord, but they prefer to worship the impersonal form of the Lord. But they knew about Vaikuntha. So they went to Vaikuntha to see Lord Vishnu, their master. And they went through one gate, two gate, three gate, four, five, six. And then at the seventh, he said they came across an obstacle. There were two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay. And actually, by the arrangement of the Lord, these two gatekeepers could understand that the Lord was desiring to fight. This is the reason that they stopped the Kumaras. They thought, as devotees of the Lord, we have to fulfill his desire. And so they understood that, you know, there would be a difficult situation they would be put into if they stopped the four Kumaras. And so by the grace of these two gatekeepers, this pastime took place. And the Lord fulfilled his ability to, or his propensity to fight, and also kill these two demons. And so, what was it now? Hiranyaksha. Yeah, they were cursed to take seven births, that's right. But the Lord, when the Kumaras had gone, he said, actually, I want you to take three births. You'd better come back a little quicker then. And so they preferred to do that, and they took birth. We all know, first two incarnations were Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and then Kumbhakarna and Ravan, and then Shishupal and Dantavakra, and then they came back for a guest appearance, didn't they? They came back as what is it? Jagayam Madarai. But this is the first one. Hiranyakashipu, he was the oldest, he was the first conception. But this one, Hiranyaksha, he was just as fearful. And he conquered the whole universe. The demigods even vacated their own planet. And he was looking for a fight. He was really angry. This is the nature of lust, isn't it? If we want anything in this world, we'll never be satisfied. And so he got everything, but just look at the state of him. He was completely angry. And so when he tried, okay, now we'll try the ocean. He went into the ocean. And then he saw this unusual sight. He saw the earth planet on the tusks of this boar. He said, previously he'd asked, Varuna, when he went to the heavenly planet. Oh, in the sea, sorry. He was in the sea. First he came, after many years, he came to Varuna Dev. And he prayed his obeisance and says, with a smirk on his face as he was getting up, he says, please give me combat, O valiant one. And so Varuna was intelligent, he says, in very nice language. He kept his language nice, but he told him so many words, that I've retired from fighting. I'm not an equal combatant for you. But there is one who is equal in combat. And he said that you'll be laid down and that you'll be food for the jackals and crows. And he actually said, where is he? And he immediately left as soon as he was given direction. And Narada Muni came into it. He helped him on his way as well, as he usually does. Narada Muni gave him direction. And so this is the situation now that he's faced with this. He's gone in the sea and he sees an amphibious beast. In other words, he's mocking the Supreme Lord. And he gives so many insults. But Lord Bori, the Supreme Lord, he says that, anyway, you may be giving so many insults, but a real Kshatriya, he doesn't speak, he actually fights. And he says, and then obviously they started fighting. And one unusual thing happened during the fight, and it happened the same with Hiranyakashipu also, is that halfway through the fight, does anybody know what happened? All the demigods went, oh no, what's happening? The Lord dropped his mace. So this is a test of faith, isn't it? All the demigods, even with Hiranyakashipu, what happened with Hiranyakashipu? The same thing. The Lord got him on in his nails and he was just about to, kill him. And then he let him go. And the demigods, they all came out from behind the clouds and then they went back again. So there's they're not quite sure. That shows faith, doesn't it? If they'd have been completely faithful, they wouldn't have done that. So how many times do we maybe do that? But then, of course, Hiranyakashipu captured him again and killed him. But the same happened. He dropped his mace and all the demigods, they were really upset. And then Lord Brahma said, the inauspicious hour of the Abhijit is coming to the end. What did he say? Do away with him immediately before the demons become strong at the evening time. So a little bit of trepidation was there, even in the ruler of the universe. Get rid of him. And so the Lord eventually dispatched him. How did he dispatch him? They were fighting so furiously. And then he just calmly went like that. And Hiranyaksha just fell down. Eyes bulging. Finished. So this is material life, isn't it? Material life means that hard endeavour was one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How does it go? It's Dharmasya Apavarga. Apavarga. He's saying that means we're panting at everything we do, big endeavour. And it ends with mrityu, with death. So material life means that there's no relief. Just like Hiranyakashipu, no relief. Just like Hiranyaksha, no relief. They're epitome of material existence. They got everything and they weren't satisfied. They became more and more dissatisfied. And the result of that dissatisfaction is that they eventually meet an inglorious death. Maybe if people become as demoniac as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Bhagavad Gita says, then they can get the Lord's mercy. He says they can be killed by the Lord. But not many people are going to get that benediction. Actually, everything's going on by the will of the Supreme Lord. But this is directly by the will of the Lord. Directly by the Lord's hand. And so then that person obtains an auspicious destination. Otherwise, what's a devotee's life? A devotee's life is one of austerity to some degree. But very quickly, if we learn this art, just like a Krura, he learned the art of seeing Krishna in every situation. If a devotee can learn that art, then there's no real difficulty. The difficulty is forgetful of Krishna. If we always remember Krishna in every situation, then we're always feeling secure. We're always feeling that what's a positive, that there's nothing actually negative, even though externally it may appear to be. So this is something we can learn from this pastime of Akrura, and also from this pastime of Lord Varahadev, that if we depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we can develop that constant remembrance, then a devotee has no suffering. This is in the nature of instruction. What's the first one? It's Shravana Dasa. Hearing about the Lord. And then there's Varanadas. When we hear enough about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we become convinced and we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then it goes on about the different stages of remembrance. The remembrance comes intermittent at first, and then it becomes longer periods of remembrance, shorter periods of forgetfulness. And then the remembrance becomes continuous remembrance, Maranavasta. And then that remembrance becomes, when we're remembering something, we become absorbed in it. We meditate. And that meditation becomes increased, condensed. What's that called? Huh? Yeah, that's right. What was it again? Anusmriti. No, it's something else. Sampati das. Constant absorption comes next. We're just absorbed in the object of our love. This is what we call also samadhi. And so this is a devotee's work, and if we meditate on that work, then it's very, devotional service becomes satisfying. It's like any examination. If we want to get the result, we have to really absorb ourselves in the subject matter. And just before the exam, we really absorb ourselves. And so we haven't got time to think about that. You know, we don't know when the next breath's going to come. You know, in material life, I used to work before I came to the movement, and many a time, you know, I'd be walking with some of your friends, and did you hear about so-and-so? No, what? He's dead. And everybody's completely shocked. But no, at any moment, death can come. So, you know, every day is the final swatting time for the final moment. So this is the mood we're trying to imbibe. Okay, so we can stop there. Lord Varahadev ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So it's 5 minutes. If anybody wants to ask any questions or make any comments, now's the time.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have two questions. Maybe there's only time for one. My first question is, we hear in the Bhagavad Gita that by remembering Krishna, we'll go to Krishna. Krishna says like this in the Bhagavad Gita. But then you were just describing that there are different levels of remembrance. There are 5 levels of remembrance there. So when Krishna says Smaranam, he doesn't exactly specify what level of absorption. But the different levels of Smarana are not the same. So when Krishna says by remembering him, what type of remembrance are we to understand by which we can go back home, back to Godhead?
Well, it's a gradual process from intermittent, like I was saying, We only remember Krishna when we're in difficulty, and then it becomes more... what usually happens then is that when we appreciate Krishna's mercy when we're in difficulty, always actually we start to become more introspective. That I see Krishna's helping me. He says, I can see where Krishna's helping in my life. Then we become devotional service is not so much of a just when there's an emergency, but we start to be more inclined to serve Krishna with a bit more thought and for Krishna's pleasure. So we're developing like that. The more we develop that remembrance, and we see Krishna more in our service, and we see how Krishna's always there, and so the remembrance, the gratitude increases, and we feel more obliged, and so we tend to give up our material propensities in order to put more effort into serving Krishna. So this is the way it gradually snowballs. And so, if I can understand your question right, at what point of remembrance do we have to attain? So this is what we were saying, is that it's not just remembrance, but the remembrance becomes constant, that we're always remembering Krishna in the sphere of our activities. And when we're always remembering something, it becomes absorption. We become absorbed in the object of our meditation. Meditation is after remembrance. We meditate on the objects of the senses, which is Krishna in this particular instance, and the opposite, if we meditate on the objects of sense gratification, remember the objects of sense gratification, meditate on them, then we become absorbed in them, and then we become completely materialistic. So the same thing in reverse. And so always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna is the instruction which is most important. Because whether we can do everything, follow everything, be expert at everything, is not really the essence of devotional service. The essence of devotional service is how much we're becoming dependent on Krishna. And as a devotee spends more time practicing devotional service, he realizes that by Krishna's grace that we're not capable of doing anything on our own. It's not our ability at all. But it's Krishna's ability. And he's working through us. In the beginning, we may come to devotional service with a particular propensity or a particular skill. And we tend to identify with that. But even that's wrong. We may have that nature, but it doesn't have to stay like that. Because Krishna's telling us that, we usually do follow our nature, but it's not absolutely necessary. If we're completely a surrendered soul, then, Krishna knows that whatever service he gives us to do, we won't become puffed up by it or attached to it. We're doing it solely for the pleasure of the Lord. So therefore, the highest devotee, in theory, can do anything for Krishna. And so that's what we're aiming for, that remembrance, meditation, absorption. And this all comes from the holy name. This is the beginning of our absorption. Because the more we're desirous of taking shelter of Krishna, praying to Krishna, then he'll reciprocate during the day in our service. We're not just praying for external service, we're asking for the mind and intelligence to be engaged also. It's not that we're separate. The mind and intelligence we have is also influenced when we're seriously chanting. And automatically we develop the proper consciousness. This consciousness is the, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, is a causeless mercy of the Lord. And so that's our real benediction, is to chant very, very sincerely. If we can do that, everything else is taken care of in due course of time.
Kura, you perfected that constant remembrance of Krishna, right? And it's significant that in that pastime, at one point, the Lord asked Akura to stop so he could take a bath in a sacred lake or something. And then there was a whole pastime that occurred there that Krishna sort of bewildered in a beautiful way, Akura showing him his form as Vishnu and this one. Anyway, so that was a very nice reciprocation that Krishna awarded Akura by revealing some of his divine opulences.
Yes.
You know.
Good point.
So that was... So remembrance of Krishna, it may be difficult, but it's a cultivation. And Krishna is always helping.
Yeah.
And he can make some special revelation, realization, and reward. You know, there's always some reciprocation happening.
Yeah.
It was very dramatic in Akura's pastimes. Krishna put on a whole big show there for Akura. But, that remembrance is very nice. And Akura is a great example. Thank you for elaborating on that.
Thank you. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.